all about the PlayStation 5 and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss out on the latest. We do this every weekday around these parts. And obviously, if you're wondering, well, why isn't it like every weekday? Well, I got a couple other projects going on in the background outside of whatever I have going on in the foreground, and this being one of the side projects, it depends. If this was my full-time profession and career, and this was what I was doing every single day, yeah, you guys would be getting a show every single day. So for those of you who listened so far, I appreciate your support. Feel free to share this episode with a friend, obviously one that you trust and not one who's going to run off with all the news and then come back and say, can you tell me more? Can you tell me more? Because then you're essentially going to feel like you're the middleman, you're left out, and you're like, well, why can't I tell them? And it's kind of cool, you know, the tech news and everything. So yeah, today's feature story is obviously probably a day late and a dollar short on the whole PlayStation 5 news, but I have some additional details that you might have not heard about yesterday that a little bit more came out today. I'll also be taking a look at scientists inventing an LED device to treat carbon monoxide poisoning, which is kind of interesting. And finally, we'll be taking a look at, well, Epic Games doing something crazy, teasing the end of Fortnite. Quite interesting news, that I will say, but before we can get to that, let's take a look back on today in tech history. Okay, today is October 9th, 2019. On this day in history, in 1876, Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Watson demonstrate the first two-way phone call over outdoor wires. Bell and Watson made their call between the cities of Boston and Cambridge, and seeing as how it was a success, well, more was soon to come off of that. And also on this day in 1947, Beinac, a computer, was developed to be built. The contract was signed to develop the Beinac, the binary automatic computer, was the only computer ever built by the Eckert-Mauchly Computer Company, founded by ENIAC pioneers J. Presper Eckert and John Mauchly. The company became a division of Remington Rand Corporation before completing its next project, the UNIVAC. The first electronic digital computer with a stored program capability to be completed in the United States, the Beinac had a capacity of 512 words. At a price of $278,000, the Beinac improved on the ENIAC, primarily by improving speed and power with only 700 vacuum tubes instead of 18,000. And most of the cost was on those stinking vacuum tubes, which were a pretty penny back in the day. But let's just say, thank goodness we don't use vacuum tubes anymore. LEDs are the way of the future, along with any other things used in as technology marched forward in progress of, well, the machines that we now use today. With that out of the way, let's get on to today's feature story. Now, for those of you interested, yes, all the articles covered today can be found by visiting technewsgadget.net. And with that out of the way, well, Sony officially confirms the PlayStation 5 name and a holiday 2020 release date. So, all exciting stuff, and I know I'm probably a day late and a dollar short on this, like I said initially, but I never really had a chance to dig into the story. I knew when it dropped. I was very familiar with that, but I wanted to give it an additional day just to see if anything extra would come out. Sure enough, it has. But before we get to that, let's just take a look at the brief recap in case you are like I, where you missed the news happenings of the day and you're a day behind. I'll catch you back up. Sony has confirmed that its next generation console will be called the PlayStation 5. I know, wonders. Everybody figured it was going to be called the PlayStation 5, PS5, everything. 5. High 5, get it? And it'll be out next year, launching in time for holiday 2020. The company also announced several changes that it'll be making to the controller on the PS5. Chief among them is replacing the current rumble technology that Sony has been using since the original PlayStation for new haptic feedback technology that it promises will offer a broader range of feedback. So definitely needed there on a controller. The other big change that Sony is talking about today is a technology it's calling adaptive triggers, which will go into the primary R2L2 triggers on the PS5's controller. According to Sony, the developers will be able to program the resistance of the triggers, and this is kind of interesting, giving me an example here that you'll be able to feel the increased tension as you draw back a bow, or force you to push down with extra pressure if you're driving through rough terrain. Sounds pretty similar to a Microsoft patent from earlier this year, which detailed a similar trigger system for a future Xbox controller, so it's unclear if Microsoft is planning to incorporate it in its next-gen Project Scarlet hardware, but we'll find out. Wired here got a hands-on preview with a prototype PS5 controller, which it notes looks an awful lot like the PS4's DualShock 4, although Sony isn't confirming if it'll be called the DualShock 5 just yet. Wired also confirmed that the PS5's controller will finally be making the jump to USB-C, as well as other refinements like a larger battery and improved speakers, which is actually kind of cool, because first time I heard the speaker on the PlayStation game that I was playing, I was like, what the heck is going on? Celebrimbor, shut up, go back into the void or the ether, wherever you popped your head out of. Because I was playing Shadow of War or Mordor, one of the two at the time, and I was like, wait, what is Celebrimbor doing talking to me? Usually he talks to me in the speakers coming off the TV, but this is kind of crazy. He's talking and okay. Alright, well that's new, which I thought was actually kind of cool and interesting. But yeah, or improved speakers. Can't wait to see what that means for future games. In an interview with Wired, Sony Interactive Entertainment CEO Jim Ryan and PS5 system architect Mark Cerny gave some additional details about the upcoming hardware. There is ray tracing acceleration in a GPU hardware, clarifying the company's original announcement of ray tracing support and allaying concerns that Sony might resort to software tricks to manage it. The Wired interview also confirms that the PS5 will use standard 100GB Blu-ray discs. Sony had previously confirmed that the console will offer a disk drive, but all games will have to be installed to the internal SSD this time around. That super fast SSD is still the biggest update, in case you're wondering that Sony is showing off, and it says that the installation requirement is due to the speed difference between the optical drive and the internal solid state one. Sony does promise that the SSD's improvement to how it reads data means that games will be able to take up less space, though, which should help soften the blow for the mandatory installation requirements. Sony will also let developers break up the installation of their game, say by installing just the multiplayer components or just the single player campaign on the PS5. Also new on the PS5 is a completely revamped user interface that will show off far more detailed social features on the home screen. Sony promises that you'll be able to see and launch directly into specific features of a game, like a single player level or multiplayer match, directly from the home screen, instead of having to first launch the game and then navigate in from there, kind of a step up, and probably taking a couple of plays in addition to a couple steps ahead of the Xbox console layout currently, so that's kind of interesting. All of this information joins the existing details that, Sony already leaked or released earlier this year, like the 8-core CPU, which will be based on AMD's 3rd-gen Ryzen line, and custom GPU based on AMD's Radeon Navi hardware 3D audio, the support for 8K gaming, as well as 4K gaming at 120Hz, a much lower power consumption option, PS4 backwards compatibility, and that extra fast and extra juicy SSD. There's still a lot we don't know, of course, like how much storage Sony will be offering initially, what kind of VR options there will be, or what the actual hardware will look like, as well as cost. But with the new holiday 2020 release date, well, it won't be too long before, obviously, Sony starts releasing some details on that as well. Now, moving on to the next article. The next console war is going to be way more fun than the last one. I can just see the signs here gearing up for it. It's all going to be very interesting, seeing as how Sony dropped a few new details on the PlayStation 5. The headline has the key details. But one author in particular is curious to see what proper haptics feel like on a controller instead of just rumbles. feel like the HD Rumble Joy-Cons on a Nintendo Switch are headed in the right direction, but their haptics are too subtle. Mostly, though, the author of this article is that the triggers on the new Sony controllers are getting real physical feedback. That's just a hardware geek, though. Buttons having variable resistance depending on a game's parameters is pretty darn cool. You can take in a lot of information just from physical feedback in your hands, whether you're just checking a fruit's ripeness or seeing if a door handle will turn, instead of the digital world only coming in through your eyes and ears. If it can manifest through touch in more elegant and interesting ways than simple rumbles, definitely promising. The physical feel of the thing also has an outsized effect on your emotional affective response to what's happening on the screen. But we'll see. What do you think? Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, Google, maybe even Apple, all of them have slightly different and sometimes overlapping strategies. What does this mean for the next round of console wars? Let's just recap. In 2020, Sony is looking to double down on its PS4 lead with a side of streaming games to any Android or iOS device. Microsoft, fully chastened from the Xbox One VCR debacle, back in the game and hedging its bet with xCloud. PC gaming is still relevant and still a premier place for cutting-edge graphics. Google, a brand new entrant, is promising to upend the entire ecosystem by putting the console in the cloud and letting you game with just a $30 TV dongle. Nintendo is still acting like the agent of chaos, only now doing so from a position of strength and with a huge cadre of indie developers paying attention to that company. Apple, want to throw Apple into the mix, maybe finally doing something relevant in gaming with Apple Arcade and the Apple TV, and selling Xbox controllers at that to just use for the Apple Arcade. And then there's Oculus, continuing to push VR, and by all appearances is confident in the Quest. So compared to the race to HD, 4K, and HDR, this next console war is so much more interesting. Wouldn't even be really accurate to call it a console war. So, interested in your thoughts. What do you think this means for everything? Are you excited in PlayStation 5? I know I am. Can't wait to see how everything else lays out in terms of storage options, in terms of pricing, things of that nature. I'm always curious to see how that all shapes up. And seeing as how I'm probably going to be due at that time or the year following for a PlayStation upgrade, to be honest, I have to retire that PlayStation 4 sometime or another. The PlayStation 5 would make a nice new addition, and I'll be able to enjoy the latest games on that as well. But those are my thoughts. Love to hear yours. If you're watching via YouTube, let me know down in the comments section. But if you're listening to the podcast on the go, hit me up on Twitter. We are at Tech News Gadget. All right, well, moving on to the next article here. This is actually kind of interesting. If you actually want to see the article as we're talking about it here, head on over to youtube.com/technewsgadget. But scientists invent an LED device to quickly treat carbon monoxide poisoning, though it's not ready for humans just yet. But still, the science is proving promising so far. Doctors at Harvard think they found a way to stop a silent killer by literally shining a light on it. In experiments with rats, their light-based device was able to quickly clear away carbon monoxide stuck to blood cells. The nifty invention may someday help doctors and EMTs treat life-threatening cases of carbon monoxide poisoning in humans. Carbon monoxide, or CO, known as the silent killer since it's odorless, tasteless, invisible, and dissolves quite clearly in a glass of water, can't joke with a Sicilian when death is on the line. I tried connecting that joke. My apologies. I'm tasteless, odorless, dissolves perfectly in water. Okay, I bet my life on it. Anyways, it can be deadly because of how it interacts with hemoglobin, the protein in our red blood cells that helps them ferry oxygen throughout the body. CO is much better at binding the hemoglobin than the oxygen we take in from air, but obviously it's not good for us. When we get too much CO, carbon monoxide, in our bloodstream, it crowds out the oxygen and effectively suffocates our body's organs and tissues. Currently, the only treatments for CO involving poisoning, making people breathe 100% pure oxygen, either through a mask or in special chambers that expose the body to pure oxygen at a great greater atmospheric pressure than normal. Now, the trouble is that CO in the environment typically comes from the incomplete burning of carbon. That makes fires or explosions a common source of poisoning. Because the lungs of these victims are often damaged from smoke inhalation, oxygen treatments are kind of difficult. They don't work as well as they should, since they can't get rid of the CO as easily by exhaling it out. But according to a senior study, author Warren Zappel, an anesthesiologist at Harvard Medical School and Massachusetts General Hospital, we've known about another way to clear CO from hemoglobin for a long time. As far back as the late 19th century, scientists had shown that exposure to visible light, particularly red light, can break apart CO from hemoglobin without affecting oxygen. It wasn't until Zappel and his team came along, though, that anyone really tried to put that discovery to good use. A few years ago, his team showed that exposing the CO poisoned lungs of mice and rats to light could improve their survival rate, but later efforts with other bigger animals failed, likely because their larger lungs made it harder for the light to penetrate through to the CO. In their new study, published Wednesday in Science Translational Medicine, Zappel and his co-authors say they found a workaround to this problem by combining their method with another emerging treatment that's being used for severe cases of CO poisoning with lung injury, as well as other respiratory and heart problems. The treatment, known as ECMO for short, I'm not reading the entire thing, I'm going to get confused reading it, draws blood out through a person's veins and sends it through a porous filter that's 100% oxygen before returning it back to the body. The external membrane is meant to mimic how our blood capillaries work. For their experiments, the team created a device that encases their own custom-made membrane in plexiglass, allowing it to be exposed to various wavelengths of LED light at the same time. We basically built a little artificial lung in a box where we could shed some light on it and knock the CO off, Zappel told Gizmodo. And what did that lead to? Well, in experiments with both human blood that was laced with CO as well as CO poison rats, the combination therapy worked faster at removing CO than simply using the control treatment of ECMO alone, along with red light being the clear winner. In otherwise healthy rats, the red light therapy was about as twice as fast at removing CO than ECMO alone, while it was threefold faster for rats that were lethally poisoned and had acute lung damage. These lung-injured rats were also more likely to survive if they had the combination therapy. The findings are obviously encouraging, according to Zappel, and he's hopeful that his team's invention could become a routine treatment for CO poisoning, given its simplicity and portability. So he goes on to explain how you could see it in an ambulance, putting in a tiny catheter and draining a little bit of blood at a time, and maybe within like 30 to 40 minutes, it could clean your blood up, and then you wouldn't have to worry about a hyperbaric chamber or an oxygen mask to try and hopefully combat it. But yeah, studies are still a little ways out for some of that. But yeah, this is actually kind of proving quite promising. So I wanted to let you guys be aware of this. It's definitely technology worth looking at. It's so cool to see, you know, people think, how in the world can I fix a problem that's in the world today? Maybe just rethink it from a different angle, and then, oh, look at that! It works! It's kind of like the light bulb after the 900th some-odd attempt going, mm-hmm, perfect, I got it, and light bulbs became a thing. So yeah, it's always encouraging to see that. The team has already built their bigger and better device that I just showed off in the photo. They're planning to test it out in sheep currently, and depending on how the results and how things go, well, we'll see how things go from there, but encouraging tech news nonetheless, and something I wanted to share with you guys. And finally, Epic Games is teasing the end of Fortnite. Now, I don't know about you, but I talk a lot about Fortnite on this show, and I'm sick and tired of having to do it all the time, because I'm like, dog, really? Like, why you gotta get up all in my grill? Like, why do I always have to be talking about Fortnite? I know everybody talks about it. I know it was shown in Avengers Endgame and Infinity War. No, just Endgame, right? Same thing, whatever. But like, dude, really? Like, I'm so glad the game's finally coming to an end. Somebody else can finally punch my monitor. Thank you, monitor. no, it... Okay. The reason why I say that is because nobody absolutely has any clue about what's going on. There's a lot of secrecy hidden around Fortnite coming to, quote, the end. Well, the end of Fortnite is coming. What this means, nobody seems to know, but it's what creative director of the game, Donald Mustard, yes, that's his actual name, has been teasing. More specifically, Mustard has once again changed the location of his Twitter location, which now reads, the end. Now, of course, Epic Games isn't about to pull the plug on Fortnite. The game prints more money than the Federal Reserve. But that said, it does seem to signal that something significant is about to happen, which isn't very surprising given that Season 10, a landmark season for the game, indeed, is coming to a close. For those who don't know, Mustard is constantly teasing upcoming events in Fortnite in cryptic fashion, and these teases are usually hidden within his Twitter location. So again, what the end means, who knows, but it obviously means something. Of course, there are some theories. Most of them deal with the Ender Dragon. Somebody said, so basically you all try and destroy the healing towers and then try and defeat the Ender Dragon. That's why there was a dragon egg and volcano in Polar Peak. Is this the Season 10 ending live event starting Season 11? I don't know. As you may know, a recent leak suggested that the game was possibly getting ready to destroy its map and replace it with an entirely new one. Now, this hasn't been confirmed, but it does seem to come up in lineup with the concept of the end. Now, as you would expect, there are some who are increasingly convinced that Epic Games may actually just pull the plug on the game. However, it's not just possible. Not only because the game makes money on money on money on money, but because its future content has already leaked and Epic Games has addressed some of its plans for the game's future. That said, it would be a pretty epic move to go out on top after 10 incredible seasons. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know down in the comments section below if you're watching via YouTube or if you're listening via the podcast. No, swing on by a website or swing on by Twitter. We are at Tech News Gadget. And with that, that wraps up this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday, so yes, I'll have an episode tomorrow and Friday. The Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode and you're watching via YouTube, let us know by clicking that like button down below and leaving a comment. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. And if you've been listening to this show for a while, I'd highly encourage you to share this episode with a friend. I'm your host, Taylor American. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.